This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. Over the last 2 weeks, I think, or a week ago, you would have seen some new innovations when it comes to smartphone technology. Over the past few months, we've always said like the smartphone innovations have just kind of plateaued. There's nothing new. It's just a newer phone, faster phone, better camera. But we were kind of proven wrong over the past 2 weeks. I think three companies have so far came out with these foldable phones.
I know, but the spread of the time is very weird. You know, we go from having nothing in this sphere except a lot of talk for a couple of years to suddenly having three different manufacturers all coming out within the space of 2 weeks.
It's like they all had the same dream or the same idea at the same time and then decided to launch it at the same time as well.
Or they all saw a tweet from Elon Musk on the same day.
Something like that. So we had the Galaxy Fold that was announced. Then there was the Mate X, which is another foldable phone. We've seen rumors about the Oppo's foldable phone, Motorola. Apparently, they want to bring back the Razr flip phone, which I think it would be pretty cool if they do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually the only one I'm excited about.
That's
right?
The cool one.
Yeah, when all of these announcements came out, I went straight to the Motorola website to see if there was anything listed on there, to see if there were any hints.
A few hours ago, apparently Motorola did say that they will be trying to make one that resembles the old Razr. So
yeah, but they actually promised that for last year. Yeah, they're way behind on this.
Exactly, that's true. We've got LG, but I think they kind of like cheated with the foldable phone because the screen doesn't fold. It's just two different screens on each side, and then it's just like a hinge. So they just kind of did like a communicator phone stuff.
It's like some of the brands that brought out curved TV screens that were actually just two with a little seam down the center, right?
Yeah, and then Xiaomi, I think they showed like the President was doing, and this was like the unique one where it's fold twice, like you could actually bend it on the left side and the right side, and then it becomes like a phone. But they all have their own take of, you know, foldable phones. I'm not going to talk about how, you know, these phones are great because I've not managed to hold them. I think the press are also, you know, they have to stay away. They can't actually feel these phones when they go for MWC.
No, and the other thing as well, I mean, which I'm sure we'll discuss in the next couple of minutes, is are these phones a cure looking for a problem?
Yeah.
You know, do we actually need this form factor, or is it just 3D TV all over again?
Oh, yeah. See, I've been a big fan of when you see new innovations and they're pretty cool. The one that I really got excited before was the modular phone, because I thought that was
which was Motorola and a couple of other manufacturers.
Yeah, I think Google kind of like thought about it, and then they sold it off. Motorola bought it,
and there's that
like
other weird company that launched through Kickstarter or something. I can't remember.
Kickstarter as well. Yeah, so that modular concept was something that I guess was trying to solve a real problem, because we keep changing phones every 2 years and technically we don't need a new phone every 2 years.
No, there's so much wastage and all of this stuff goes into landfill
And it's gone. Now the idea, I don't see it coming back. I've not heard any news about the modular phone. It's been about 2 years now that it's just been dead. I think they killed off the project as well. So I'm now like, okay, what's next? And then now we see these foldable phones. And you're right in the sense, like, what purpose does a foldable phone give you here?
Yeah.
Because it's confusing. And, you know, you mentioned about it that it's built on mostly on Android now.
Exactly,
apparently Apple
is
rumored to be making one as well, because I'm sure they want to get into the game if there is a market for it. But at this point in time, Android may not be the best platform.
No, because, you know, you're talking about a phone that transforms into a tablet. And we know that Android doesn't perform fantastically as a tablet operating system. You know, if it switched seamlessly somehow into Chrome, that would make some kind of sense. But you can see this making a lot more sense for Apple or Microsoft, which do have operating systems that are essentially seamless as they go between desktops and mobile and tablet. But we don't have that with Android. So it's very strange that this innovation is coming out of this sector, because it's a product we don't necessarily need on a platform that doesn't really support it. It doesn't make an awful lot of sense.
It's really starting off on a bad note for this, you know, foldable technology. But maybe in the future, it could be one of those things that we had no idea how we lived without.
Oh, no, I agree. I think it's a fantastic innovation.
Yeah.
It's an absolutely awesome product. I just wonder why it's on that particular operating system. Mm. Is it just because their phones are on that system, therefore they've just extended the size of the phone within that system? Because at the moment, there aren't really any apps that work for this category either, because it's not a true tablet category either. It's somewhere in between. So we're still waiting for app developers to write apps that will scale up to the dimensions of the new screens.
It comes back to, you know, hardware-wise, we seem to have cracked a lot of things. Like, we could do 3D TVs and all. That's pretty cool when it comes to the hardware innovations. Foldable screens, that's like mind-boggling to think that you can actually bend an AMOLED screen and you could actually fold it into half and it doesn't break. I wonder how do the pixels inside there, the small little pixel, how do they cope with that stress that you have when you bend the phone? But it's the software that will tend to make it break this decision.
Absolutely, but I'm glad you used the phrase mind-boggling, because these phones also come with a mind-boggling price. I think most of them have been touted at around the 2,000 euro mark.
Yeah, they're all about the $2,000 mark.
Yeah, so you're looking at sort of 8,000 to 10,000 ringgit for these phones. Now, for that, you can have, for most of the Chinese manufacturers, their flagship phone and their flagship tablet for half the cost of these devices. Mm. And you will have a 6.5-inch, nearly 7-inch screen on your phone. You'll have a 10.5-inch screen on your tablet. And you won't have something that maxes out around 7.5-8 inches, somewhere in between. So, like I said, I really, at the moment, the technology is fantastic, but I don't see where this fits.
Maybe they're just trying to, you know, show off what they can do, and then if anyone wants to take that technology or the way they've innovated, how they do a hinge or how they fold the phone, go ahead and do it for whatever you want to do it, and not just for phones.
Of course. I mean, I'm
I don't
sure.
think they're planning to sell many of these.
I mean, certainly one of the applications for these kind of flexible screens is going to be wrapping around the sides of buildings.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be integrating with clothing and bags and all these other things that don't have traditional flat surfaces. But there is a kind of risk that the same thing will happen as happened with 3D TV or with Google Glass. You know, the technology was there. They brought it out. But the public reaction to that technology actually killed it off. I mean, you don't see anyone doing the Google Glass type technology anymore, even though it was a useful idea.
Yeah.
Because it's now associated with really creepy, weird dudes. And, of course, 3D TVs are associated with no one.
No one.
Absolutely no one. So there is that risk of, by showing off the technology and making it commercially available, you can actually kill it off by showing the level of disinterest in it as well.
Somehow I still do want that Google Glass, even though
No, but that's what I mean.
Yeah.
But you might want it, but would you wear it publicly?
Well, we'll think about it. We'll go for a short break. And then King of Culture is next. BFM 89.9.
Big Front Man. BFM 89.9.
And we're back. It's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandhu. King of Culture, Matt, what do we have?
We have a podcast for
nice.
You this week. And I know it's a podcast that you rather like as well, Jeff.
Yes, I do.
This is Crime Town, which is produced in association with Gimlet, which, of course, was recently bought over by Spotify for a very large sum of money. Now, the podcast is currently in its second season. What they do is they concentrate on one particular city at a time. So each season concentrates on a city, not necessarily a big city, but it looks at the kind of organized crime and corruption in local government within those cities. And though it sounds quite pedestrian, the way they put it together is absolutely fascinating. I have to say I prefer season one to season two.
Yeah,
now,
me
season
too.
One was about, I think, Providence in... was it Providence? New Jersey, small city in and the very corrupt mayor who had ties to organized crime. But you also had these kind of classic Sopranos like gangsters, these proper New Jersey mafia types in the background who were committing robberies and at the same time bidding for local government contracts. So you had this kind of mesh of information. Season two, which has been running since October, I think they're up to about 17 episodes on season two so far, concentrates on the city of Detroit. It has more of a focus on kind of street crime and the drug trade, and of course also the corruption within various mayors who've headed up the city of Detroit over the past sort of two or three decades. It is definitely worth your time if you're into this true crime genre. It is one of the most popular podcasts. If you are a podcast listener, I will be surprised if you haven't heard of this podcast. But if you just put it on a list and you haven't gotten around to doing it, give it a try now. Season two, I think, is exclusive to Spotify, if I remember correctly. If you don't have a Spotify subscription, you will be more than happy with season one.
Yes.
And the cast of incredible and unimaginable real life characters who are interviewed in the show.
Yeah. So far, I think the favorite episode I had is called The Doctor. Go and check it out. Crime Town. Amazing, amazing podcast. The way they tell the stories, Gimlet has always been, I guess that's why they were bought over by Spotify by, you know, X amount of millions or billions of US dollars. Anyway, so let's talk about, could we be able to detect cancer in 10 minutes? This is an article by The Guardian, Matt, and apparently pioneering methods are now being developed to trace tumors quickly in small blood samples. And apparently the researchers in the US DNA sequencing company Illumina, they started noticing something really odd. A new blood test, it ran on 125,000 expectant mothers looking for a genetic abnormalities such as Down syndromes in their fetuses, returned with some extremely unexpected signals in 10 cases. And chillingly, it dawned on them that the abnormal DNA they were seeing wasn't from the fetuses, but rather than the undiagnosed cancers in the mother. So we're moving, I guess, a step closer to finding a way and how we can combat this.
Well, it's kind of an early detection
super, super early
system.
Detection, yeah.
And also it's not invasive. I mean, I have to go for screening for a certain type of cancer that is prevalent in my family, and I have to be unconscious when they screen me for that particular thing. So if they could do that with a blood test that can be returned to you within 24 hours, that would be quite astonishing. And I think it works on the principle that the tumor sloughs off these tiny pieces of DNA that can then be detected in your bloodstream.
Because apparently early detection is hard, especially when the tumor is like really small. There's not much of the ctDNA to detect, but now they are able to find traces of this.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is where it gets into the controversy area as well. So one of the things that's coming back into the news is Theranos, which is blood testing company. Yeah, exactly. There's a new movie coming out about it. There's there's a podcast about it as well, The Dropout. And that's all about a company that claimed to have these fantastic blood testing machines that could speed up all of these diagnoses. So there's still some controversy around whether these ctDNA scans are actually practical, because some experts are contending that during the early stages of the development of the disease, the tumor is too small to release significant quantities of ctDNA to show up in a small blood sample. So you might actually have to take a large blood sample, much more than the 10 mils that is currently taken, simply to discover these things. So, it sounds very promising, but there's also kind of valid scientific reasons to think that this may not be the miracle breakthrough that we assume it is.
Mm, they're also probably going to try doing breathonomics for cancer detection as well. So, hopefully one day in the future you could just breathe into...
Well, yeah, I mean, that's very promising as well. I mean, the idea being that in the same way that you can be breathalyzed for alcohol, chemicals from the cancer cells
yeah.
will actually be detectable in your breath a long time before the tumours start to form. So unlike the these ctDNA samples, it won't tell you what type of cancer.
Yeah.
It will just say that there are markers for cancers in your air volume, and that will then be the trigger for you to go and have further tests to discover what and where. But yeah, it is, again, interesting that we're going along these routes. It would kind of be cool to get breathalyzed by your doctor. Bit yeah. odd. But yeah, a lot of positive movements in this area.
Let's move on to Geek Tunes. What do we have for today?
Well, just going back to the subject of our topic for MSP today and people who are living their dream, this is Richard X featuring Kellis with Finest Dreams.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.